Up next through the airwaves, we're going live to Germany to talk about the art of transforming nightmares. Claire Johnson joins us next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Claire Johnson with us. She was the first person in the world to receive a PhD in lucid dreaming as a very creative tool. Past president and CEO of the International Association for the Study of Dreams, global speaker and teacher, Claire is the author of a number of books, dream books, including the acclaimed Llewellyn's Complete Book of Lucid Dreaming. Her new release is The Art of Transforming Nightmares. Claire leads retreats and often video courses on lucid dreaming as well as live workshops. Creator of the Deep Lucid Dreaming Program, she was last on with me in 2018. Claire, welcome back. Good to have you.
Hi, George. Thanks so much for having me on the show again. It's lovely to speak to you again.
Great to have you back. And how are things with COVID in Germany now?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're in a fairly severe lockdown, but it's not as bad as places like France and England, where they're doing it very, very severely. So, I mean, yeah, it's just the whole world is suffering a bit right now, you know. It's like a big collective nightmare.
It is.
In the U.S. at the moment.
It is a nightmare. California is on pretty much a lockdown. They're slowly trying to open up, but they're doing some silly things. I mean, they're saying that you can only go to dinner with a group of people who are within your family. That's not going to work. And then they say you can't put televisions outside. These restaurants can't. COVID must like TVs or something. It's strange stuff.
Yeah, some of the logic, you just think, who is making up these rules? I know. It's the same here. We're just sort of doing the best we can. Yeah.
And you're right. We're going through a nightmare right now, probably one of the worst I can remember in a long time. What creates these real nightmares when we go to sleep? Is it something, an event that happened during the day? Is it something that's troubling us? Is it something we ate? What does it?
Well, actually, George, it's all of those things and more. There are very many reasons why we have nightmares. So on the level of what happens in the brain, our fight or flight reactions occur in an ancient part of the brain called the amygdala. It's also known as the emotional accelerator. And the amygdala is basically completely free in dreams because the prefrontal cortex shuts down in sleep. So all of this aggression and fear and sadness is much more likely to take us into an extreme state when we're actually dreaming. So that's kind of what happens in the brain to make this happen. And then on the psychological level, nightmares have a processing function. I often use the analogy of a volcano. You know, if we've got too much going on, too many strong emotions that we haven't processed, at some point they all just come exploding out of us like lava out of a volcano, and that is the nightmare experience. Because when we have unresolved traumatic experiences, they leave a memory of fear embedded in the brain. And during dreaming, this fearful raw material is magnified into scary imagery. And then some people have nightmares that are caused by sleep disturbances or even by the medication they're taking. So if anyone listening is having very frequent nightmares once or more a week or perhaps every night, then very important to speak to your doctor and see if any of your medication is causing this.
Now, that's interesting, too. How about the supplement melatonin?
Yeah, well, that's a supplement that people usually take to take them into a deeper sleep. It's often used for people with insomnia. That can help people. Sometimes you have nightmare issues, but as you'll find out today when we talk about it, my own view is that the best way to deal with nightmares is actually to work with them, to transform them. Because nightmares, you can think of them as being red flags. They flag up emotional, psychological, or physical issues even in the body. So sometimes if we have a physical illness, the signals from the body are passed into the dreaming mind to let us know that we have this illness. One guy dreamed he was being tortured with hot coals under his chin, and he actually discovered very soon afterwards that he had thyroid cancer. So it can even be a message from the body. But generally, on the psychological level, nightmares can be seen as honest mirrors. They show us how we're really feeling about a situation. They show us what's really happening in our body or in our life. And if we don't act on that nightmare message, then it will likely return. So my view on nightmares is that they can be considered as gifts in ugly wrapping paper, you know, but once we take our courage in both hands and unwrap this nightmare to find out what the message or the meaning is, that's when we receive the gift of insight or wisdom or some sort of very practical advice, often to help us in our lives, to help us to move forward. So there are many reasons for having nightmares.
And are there different types of nightmares, Claire, in that some people may see it as a gift, some people may see it as something horrible?
Oh, they are horrible. Yeah, I mean, they totally feel horrible when we have them. They can be seen as a gift when we unwrap them and work with their message. But there are also many different types of nightmares. Now, the general definition of a nightmare is that it's a dream that is so upsetting or disturbing that it wakes us up. But in the work that I've been doing recently and in the book, I have a much broader definition, because so many people were reaching out to me all the time with all sorts of different upsetting sleep experiences. So my definition of nightmares is that they are any upsetting, fearful, or distressing experience that happens during sleep. This is a very broad umbrella, and it includes things like sleep paralysis nightmares. Sleep paralysis is when you feel like you're trapped inside your body, you can't move, and it often comes along with super scary hallucinations and visions. Other people write to me saying that they have out-of-body experiences which terrify them because they think they're dying. They think they won't ever get back into their body again. So that's all included under this umbrella of nightmares. Also disturbing pre-sleep imagery or hypnagogic imagery. This can also involve very scary images. And some people report sort of floating in this endless black space known as the void, and they feel very scared when they're not used to that space and they don't know what can happen there. They feel alone and very frightened. And then there are recurring nightmares that keep coming back, often because they have a message for us that we are not paying attention to. So the nightmare shouts louder and louder to get our attention. And then, of course, there are kind of the more regular nightmares that happen because we've been stressed, there's something going on in our life, and we're processing it in a healthy way by actually letting out some of that extreme energy and emotion during our sleep.
And whereabouts in the brain do dreams originate, Claire?
Well, I mean, I have a broader view of dreams as well, because I don't think they're simply something that's produced by the brain. I think they're part of the vaster, wider mind. As I said earlier, so we've got the amygdala, which, you know, on the level of brain chemistry, you can say that we are much closer to this ancient part of the brain where we tap into very deep fight or flight reactions. And that is all interlinked, you know, the way the brain chemistry is, the things that have happened during the day. But I also think that dreams are vaster than that. And we see that when we look at dreams that can indicate the future, or dreams that involve meeting up with deceased loved ones, or telepathic dreams and nightmares. So I think we tap into a broader matrix when we dream. I don't think it's all just to do with what goes on in the brain. I do feel that we are much more than simply a body and a brain.
Indeed, indeed. Now, you talk about in The Art of Transforming Nightmares that it could be a healing gift. Explain that.
Yeah. So Nightmares really can offer us so many beautiful opportunities to get to know ourselves better and to understand what's happening in our lives. They often let us know that change is needed or healing is needed. So an example of a terrifying nightmare, one woman came to a workshop I was giving for psychotherapists on lucid dreaming, and she had an awful nightmare that she was in a very, very high building, and she noticed there was a little cat on the window ledge, and it was about to fall from the window. And she was terrified, and she ran to save the cat, and she was trying so hard to save it that she nearly fell out of the window herself and woke up in a state of extreme fear and panic. And we did a technique I do called lucid writing, which is when you re-enter the dream and allow it to change and move to give you insight and some sort of transformation. And after she did this, she said she realized that the cat in her dream represented her husband, who was disabled and requiring a lot of care. And she realized that she absolutely needed help. She couldn't save him without actually risking herself because she just could not give anymore, and that she was going to have to get help from an outside nurse. So that nightmare, horrible though it was, made her realize, okay, this is a moment where I'm going to have to change things in my life. I need to be able to move forward. I need to accept help now with my husband. And that's a gift in the sense that it's a protective gift. That's the nightmare saying you cannot go on like this any longer. You must seek help. So that's one kind of gift that we can get from a nightmare. So often it comes in the form of healing insight, the understanding of how we really feel about a situation. Because nightmares and dreams in general force us to be honest with ourselves about how well we're coping or how we really feel about a relationship. So it just takes a bit of courage to get to the heart of the nightmare.
And you're an expert on lucid dreaming, Claire. And tell me, can you have a lucid dream in a nightmare?
Yeah, you can. You can have a nightmare where you actually become lucid in that nightmare. And then that's amazing because it gives you the opportunity to work with the nightmare in real time while it's actually happening. And that can be incredibly healing. And we have a lot more presence when we become lucid in a nightmare. Then we can become alert to what's happening in our unconscious mind. One example is there was a woman who had a dream that she walked into a room and there was a hunched figure, and he looked really kind of awful and bedraggled, and she was scared of this figure. And she became lucid, and she knew that she had to look upon the face of this figure. And she was scared and reluctant, but because she was lucid, she thought, okay, I'm going to face this and see what is in my psyche. And she went up to this hunched figure, and it turned to face her. And in fact, it was just pure luminosity, incredible spiritual light that shone on her. And she was incredibly moved and realized that this is part of her, this light. So when we're lucid, we can react in the moment because the dream is thought responsive. It reacts to our thoughts, our expectations, the level of fear that we have as well. It will spontaneously change to reflect that. And nightmares can become very, very joyful or deeply spiritual when we become lucid in the dream. And they can also give us an ability to heal the fractured parts of ourselves.
Claire, you have what is called a nightmare solution technique. It was the lucid dreaming imaging nightmare solution. What is that?
So this is a technique that you can use when you've just woken up from a nightmare. And so the first step is calm yourself down. Sometimes we wake up dripping with sweat, with our heart racing. So just, have a drink of water, relax, be calm. And then you can check in with yourself and ask yourself if you want to do this work and re-enter the nightmare mentally. And if that feels okay for you, then you close your eyes, relax, and go back into the nightmare in your mind's eye. Allow it to come into your head again. But this time, you don't need to feel the fear or the guilt or the angst, whatever was happening, because you are the movie director. You're directing this nightmare film. So you can fast forward or rewind or press the pause button. You're in control. So you go back into it and you rewind it to the tipping point. The tipping point is the point where it turned from a dream into a nightmare. So the moment that the monster leapt out of the closet, for example. You go back to that tipping point if there is one. If not, you just restart it whenever you want. Replay that nightmare and just respond in any way that feels right. You, for example, you could ask a figure in the dream, do you have a message for me? Or you could summon help in the dream, get a strong friend to come or a superhero, or you could escape from that situation or fight. This can be psychologically freeing to fight the demons that come up in our dreams and just take control in that way. You could also hug the monster. This has a very integrative function of perhaps, integrating the shadow energy that we all have within us. Or send love and light to the nightmare and see if that transforms into some sort of healing or resolution, and it will develop magical powers like strength or flight or invisibility. So you can do anything that feels right within that imaginal dream reentry. And in fact, this is very, very a good thing to do for resolution. It's based on nightmare imagery rehearsal therapy, which is when people rewrite the nightmare story and just bring it into their minds and change it. Because if you think about it, a nightmare is a story, and you can change the direction of it, a bit like the way that you can change the direction of a train by moving the points. And that sends a really strong message to the unconscious mind that there isn't just one way of reacting in a nightmare. We can change the way we react. We can empower ourselves. So it's actually very empowering to do this kind of nightmare work.
What would be a bad dream? I mean, to one person might be okay.
Yeah, you're quite right. And that's an interesting thing, actually. You know, sometimes people tell me dreams and I think, oh, my goodness, that sounds like a terrible nightmare. You know, they'll say, in the dream I was ripped apart limb by limb, and all these soldiers just strew my body parts across the street. And you think, oh, my goodness, I was definitely talking about a nightmare here. But the dream is like, no, I didn't feel scared or worried in the dream. And that's worth kind of finding out, you know, what is going on here? Is this a purely symbolic dream? And in fact, in that particular dream, it turned out to be one from a woman who had moved house about 25 times in her life and felt that parts of her were left in these places from which she'd moved. And the nightmare, the dream, I should say, was simply showing her that she felt scattered. So that wasn't, you know, it wasn't a terrible dream. But some dreams are very clearly nightmares. One guy dreamed that he was living in a house with Adolf Hitler. And so Hitler was totally in charge. And one day Hitler decided that he wanted to have sex with the dreamer. And the dreamer was like, no way, that's not happening. But he knew he was going to have to because this was Adolf Hitler. And he woke up from that nightmare in an absolute state, sweating and screaming, fell on the floor and so on. And he worked on this nightmare using the lucid imaging nightmare solution that I've just mentioned. So he went back into the dream, and when he went back into that dream, he realized, hey, hang on, the Allies won World War II. So Hitler has no power. And he was able then, in that imagined dream reentry, to stand up to Hitler. He said, this is my home, and this is my body, and you have no power over me. And he realized after that nightmare reentry that Hitler represented the angry, rigid, controlling side of himself, a shadow side of himself. So you can change your response to the nightmare. You can actually change who you are when you dream. You can change who you are in your nightmares and how you react. If you constantly find yourself fleeing from aggressive people or fighting off monsters, you can change the way that you react. And it's very good to do this kind of rehearsal, like with the lucid imaging nightmare solution. Go back in, change the scene, change things, and the unconscious will receive that message, because we're working with the imagery of the unconscious, the language of the unconscious.
Truly remarkable, Claire, the kind of work you get into. You had an episode when you were 20, a sleep paralysis episode, which I want to get into after the break, and we'll talk about that. But what got you interested in dreams?
Oh, well, it's a whole lifetime thing for me. I had my first nightmare when I was 3, and I became briefly lucid in that nightmare. It was one where I was drowning, and I realized I can either stay in the dream and drown, or I can wake myself up. So I forced myself to wake up, fell out of bed, and my mum came running and told me it wasn't real. It was just a dream. And that moment, just, it was very strange for me, because that dream was more real than anything that I had experienced. So that's the moment, really, when I started with this whole journey at the age of 3, and I had very, very many vivid dreams, nightmares, out-of-body experiences, sleep paralysis, you name it, sleepwalking as well as I grew up. So I could not ignore the world of dreams. It came to get me.
It did. Claire, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll come back for more in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you, along with Dr. Claire Johnson. We're talking about her latest work, The Art of Transforming Nightmares. And Claire, this book is out now, I assume?
I think it's coming out on Monday, actually.
Oh, we're a little ahead of the game, but it will come out. Published by Llewellyn, a good company.
Yeah, very good.
Now, back to what happened to you when you were 20, you had a sleep paralysis episode. How many and what happened?
Oh, I had many, many sleep paralysis episodes when I was around 19 or 20. And they started to happen pretty much every night, which was a bit crazy. And I didn't know why. I had no information about it. And I just kind of had to figure out for myself how to react in that state. So what would happen? What happens in sleep paralysis? Is, in fact, we all go through sleep paralysis every night because it's part of the body's protective function to cause this muscular paralysis so that we don't act out our dreams. Otherwise, we would hurt ourselves, our bed partner. So it's very important that we all have this muscular paralysis during sleep. I didn't know any of this then. I just thought, why can't I move? Why can't I do anything? I'm just in this black space, spinning around and having these weird experiences that I don't want, and I would struggle and try to wake myself up. And that never really went very well. Things just kind of got worse because this is a thought-responsive environment. So if you get scared in that environment, then scary imagery will come. It reacts to how you're feeling and thinking. And so I gradually learned to do a sort of calm breathing technique to relax and calm my body down, and that would calm the imagery down. And then I started to visualize a beautiful scene, like an amazing beach with a hammock or something like that. And then it would become so real and strong, this image, that I could just float into it. And in fact, that was lucid dreaming. That was a form of staying consciously aware while you fall asleep. And this is also, I mean, this is a very ancient practice, also known as yoga nidra. And it takes you into this beautiful lucid dream so that you don't have to be stuck in that scary sleep paralysis space. And what I've been doing is developing techniques to help people who suffer from this, because there are a lot of people who suffer from sleep paralysis and they tend to reach out to me and ask, you know, they say, I'm scared to go to sleep because every time I let go and start falling asleep, I'll find myself in this horrible sleep paralysis state. And some people get really scary visions. One woman dreamed that, she had a sleep paralysis experience where she saw a brown demon sitting on her chest. And it seemed completely real, and she was terrified. But she remembered having read a little bit about this, that she needed to calm down, and so she managed somehow to calm her heartbeat down and just relax a bit more, and then she called out the name of Jesus in that state, and the demon then vanished. And I've heard this a lot from people. If they call out the name of a god or a goddess or something that they believe very strongly in, that can help in that state. But what also really helps is simply taking slow, deep breaths and releasing fear. And you can practice this during the day so that you get used to just kind of switching on this deep relaxation state. Just take a few deep breaths and relax and feel safe. And that can really change things. And another tip that I can share with people is creating an egg of light around you so that you have this this sense of protection. Imagine a beautiful egg of white light or light of any color all around you, and bring anything that makes you feel safe into that space. Could be a strong friend, for example, or a deity, anything that feels right. And then that will help you to feel more protected and safe. So it's very interesting to explore the state of sleep paralysis. Once we've managed to calm down and not feel scared, we'll discover it's actually a state of effortless lucidity. We are effortlessly aware in that state, and it's a very creative space. For example, you know, we can create a new dream that we can go into, as I mentioned earlier. So it's important also for nightmare work to understand the thought-responsive nature of nightmares and of sleep paralysis experiences. One woman reported finding herself floating in a sleep paralysis state, and she was in a kind of room with a black dot. And this black dot, or sort of a ball, it was pulsating, and she started to feel frightened. And as she felt frightened, it started to get bigger and bigger. And then she ran for the door, but the door wouldn't open, and this pulsating ball got so big it filled up the entire room. And then she realized it was pulsating exactly in sync with her heart rate. So she took a moment to consciously breathe and calm down. And as her heart rate calmed down, the ball grew smaller and smaller and went back to the other side of the room again. And I love this example because it shows us how much our fear can cause things to happen. We can create imagery that changes and moves and becomes more frightening simply by becoming more frightened. But when we manage to take that moment of conscious reflection in these scary states and calm ourselves down, then the imagery tends to calm down too. So it's just important to know that we can change this. And another thing that people can do if they suffer from regular sleep paralysis episodes is to look at their sleep paralysis story. You know, what's happening for them? Is it always the same thing? Do they feel they're being attacked by invisible entities? Are they experiencing something that feels demonic? Are they experiencing the sensation of not being able to breathe? And to rewrite that story in their mind's eye so that they are reacting with power. And as I said earlier when I talked about nightmares, this kind of rehearsal is super important. It can really make a difference to the way that we feel and the way that those states occur for us. It can calm down our nightmares. It can help us to find resolution and healing. And it can just be just a real gift to be able to use these techniques to improve our dream life and to stop us having so many of these very frightening experiences, and to help us transform them into an experience that we really want to have, like a beautiful lucid dream.
And I've got to say, when some people have their nightmares, are they sometimes really severe?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes they are really severe. You know, I sometimes get messages from people who their nightmares are so severe that they are stopping them from sleeping properly and have done for a very long time. And these people sometimes then write that they don't want to live anymore, that it gets to that much of an extreme state that they actually contemplate suicide. If anyone out there listening is in this situation, please seek medical help immediately. Go to your doctor, find a therapist. You can definitely be helped. There are ways of helping. As I said earlier, sometimes severe nightmares are caused by sleep disturbances. Some people have, for example, sleep apnea, which is when you actually stop breathing multiple times in the night, and simply that sensation of your throat closing up or not being able to get air can cause a very severe nightmare. And there are many other situations in which nightmares can arise due to sleep disturbances or to medication, as I mentioned earlier. So it's very important to know that you can be helped with these nightmares. You don't have to continue having these debilitating experiences all the time.
You talk about meeting the deceased in some of these dreams. Are they nightmares or just regular dreams?
Well, it's interesting. Sometimes they're wonderfully positive dreams where we meet a deceased loved one and we're able to hold them in our arms and speak words of love or forgiveness or whatever feels right in that state. But there are also nightmares involving deceased loved ones. Interestingly enough, with the COVID crisis, there have been reports as well of people meeting deceased loved ones in dreams, and the deceased loved ones have said to them, "You're going to have to pack your bags. You're going to be coming to join me soon." And the dream is saying, "No, I don't want to die. You know, I don't want to go with you." And the person is saying, "Oh yeah, you know, you're coming. Your time's up." And these nightmares, of course, you know, you can see why people are having nightmares like this, because death is so omnipresent at the moment, and there's a lot of fear about people contracting the virus and having complications and dying. So those kind of nightmares involving deceased loved ones are coming up. Sometimes deceased loved ones will show up in a dream or in a nightmare to tell the dreamer that they have some sort of very serious health issue. And there's been research done into this on women who have had breast cancer dreams, where deceased loved ones have just told them, "You have breast cancer."
And they didn't know.
They didn't know. They didn't know. That's the amazing thing. So one woman dreamed that her father just came and shouted at her, "You have breast cancer. Get yourself checked out now." And that's not the kind of dream you ignore, right? Even if you feel completely healthy. And she went to the doctor, and he did indeed find that she had breast cancer, and it was at an early enough stage for her to be able to deal with that illness. So yeah, these dreams will come for all sorts of reasons, and it's very interesting to see what happens for individuals when they meet deceased loved ones in dreams. Sometimes, if people have had a difficult relationship with a deceased loved one, then they may have nightmares as well. I remember one woman telling me of a dream that she had, that she was making the bed with her mother, who was deceased. She'd always had a very difficult relationship with her mother, and there were all these black widow spiders in the bed, and she was trying to get rid of them, get them off the bed, and they were all over the room. They were hanging down from the ceiling, and it was just a very toxic dream. And she realized that that nightmare was showing her about the toxic relationship she'd had with her deceased mother. And she'd figured that since her mother was dead, there was no way that she could really work on those feelings and all the difficulties they'd had. But she did a lucid writing exercise with me, and in that exercise she swept the black widow spiders away, and she understood that she had a lot of inner work to do, clearing and cleaning away the toxic energy that her mother had left her with. So yeah, it can be very illuminating to work with nightmares and to understand what their message is, so that we can move forward in new ways in our lives and move towards healing change.
What is a telepathic nightmare, Claire?
Yeah, so a telepathic nightmare is a nightmare that happens at the same time as an actual situation is happening. So we basically dream of a situation that is happening in real time. One example I can give you of a telepathic nightmare is a woman who dreamed that she saw her friend in a coffin. And the friend sat up in the coffin and told her, "I'm dead." And the dreamer said, "You can't be dead, because I saw you earlier tonight. We went out for drinks. You can't be dead." And the friend said, I am dead." And then the dreamer woke up from that nightmare completely shocked, and she knew on some level that it was true. And then, unfortunately, she got the phone call the next morning that her friend had died by suicide, and that the friend's mother had found her. So, and that had happened, you know, the dream had happened in the same night that her friend took her life. So that's an example of a telepathic nightmare. They can also happen in ways that, in other surprising ways. Often it is when it's a friend or a loved one who is in danger, and then we will receive that information somehow through a dream or nightmare. In the book called Chicken Soup for the Soul, there was a woman who dreamed that her premature baby couldn't breathe. And she was running through this school trying to find her little baby. And she found the baby in a classroom and noticed that the classroom was very cold. So she woke up from this nightmare and called the hospital and was told that her baby's lung had ripped, because a doctor decided to see if the baby could breathe on his own or not, and he couldn't. He was still alive, but she rushed to the hospital, and he was very weak, breathing through a tube. And then she noticed that his body temperature was extremely low, and she discovered that the back window on the incubator was open, and the baby was lying there in this frigid temperature. And so she was able to rectify that, and thank goodness the baby survived and thrived, and everything was fine. But the dream, interestingly, was correct, you know, about the baby having breathing problems and about the coldness of the atmosphere. And this happened at the same time as those events were actually taking place. So it does seem that sometimes, you know, we can communicate with each other without telephoning or messaging each other. You know, it's like this other form of communication, which is a very deep intuitive form. And I think we do all have this innate gift, and it comes up at moments of emergency or crisis, or perhaps at the moment of death, as with the lady who dreamed her friend was in the coffin.
Yeah. Back to the dream of the father telling the daughter she had breast cancer.
Yeah.
Is the woman who dreamt it telepathic and picks up on something, or is the dead really trying to communicate with us?
Yeah, it's very hard to know. It's very hard to know.
It is.
Yeah, it's one of those unknowables. I mean, life is full of mysteries. So, you know, you would talk to the dreamer about a dream like that, and some dreamers would say, oh, it was just a psychological representation of my father. It wasn't actually him because he's dead, and that means he's gone. And maybe he appeared like that in the dream because I love him and I know he wants the best for me and I listen to him when he tells me something, right? And other dreamers would say, it was my father. He was there. I know he was there. He came back from the dead to warn me. So it just depends really on kind of the dreamer's view of that. And the actual truth, I don't know. We know it's one of those mysteries. So something we'll find out about one day, I suppose, when we die ourselves.
We're going to take calls next hour with Claire Johnson. Share your dreams with us. Share your nightmares with us. And she'll chat with us about that. You have become literally an expert in dreams. Do you get sought out by medical practitioners for advice?
Well, actually, I do get quite a lot of people coming to my classes. I do retreats and I do transformative lucidity live groups. And I get psychologists, I get psychiatrists, psychiatric nurses who come to the class because they want to learn a bit more about lucid dreaming and about my practices, because I do a lot of practical techniques. I think it's super important. That's all come out of my own life path into nightmares, learning how to react in that state. What can we do? So I share my practices with them, and they can use that in their own practice when they deal with clients.
Claire, give us your website.
Sure. It's deeplucidedreaming.com.
Easy enough to remember. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with Dr. Claire Johnson, PhD, as we will talk about dreams and specifically your nightmares. Share your stories with us. Don't be shy. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.